All right, please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we are in a series on the parables of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we are considering one by one all of the parables that Jesus spoke during his earthly ministry. And we're not necessarily taking them in any particular order, but as the Lord leads. Nonetheless, we find out and seek out each of these parables and find out what the Lord has for us. And as I've said many times before, the purpose of a parable is a story. It's an illustration that Jesus gave to illustrate a truth. All right, so there's a particular truth that Jesus is trying to get across, and to help bring that truth across to the hearts and minds of people, he would tell a story to illustrate that truth. And there's always one central meaning in a parable that Jesus is trying to get across, and we can make lots of applications from it. We don't over-spiritualize them. We simply take it as it is in the Word of God. We break it down, and then we put it all back together on how we can apply it in our life. And Jesus typically will give the application in a parable that he and he'll typically give the meaning behind it in his parables that he gave. And this one that we're going to cover today in Luke 18 is no exception. In fact, Jesus in the very beginning, verse 1, tells us the reason why he gave this parable. And so I want us to look at Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, we'll go down to verse 8. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end," here's the reason, "that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Jesus speaks this parable here with one purpose in mind, and that is to teach persistent prayer. Verse 1 says that Jesus, he spake this parable to this end, for this very reason, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The parable here of the unjust judge, as Jesus calls him, is a story of one who heard the pleas of a poor widow woman, and yet he did not answer her because of her situation that she was pleading, but rather because of her continual coming. Jesus' words at the beginning of this parable is exactly what he wants us to hear today as well. This thought that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're going to talk this morning about the power of persistent prayer. The power of persistent prayer. First of all, by way of introduction, I want to just say this morning that prayer is a great privilege for the saint of God. Think about this. How bleak the outlook would be if there was no access to Almighty God. If God was aloof to the cry of human need. God, who created all things, he put this world in place, he gave you life and so on, but then God was just, you know, he was non-existent. He just disappeared, and we had to fend for ourselves and live life by ourselves. How bleak would the outlook be if there was no access to the Almighty God, if he was aloof to the cry of human need? How hopeless our lives would be in the day of distress if we did not have access to the ear of our Father. Prayer is a great privilege that we should not take for granted. It's a great privilege made available to us by a loving God because and through his Son, Jesus Christ. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 19. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 19 says, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what this passage is telling us and referring to is we have access to the very presence of a holy God because of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, with the Old Testament temple, there was the holy place, but then there was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, and only the high priest could go in there once every year. And he had to come in with blood to make an atonement for the people. No one was allowed access into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus Christ came to this world and he gave his life and he died on the cross, in those hours of blackness and darkness, the Son of God gave his life. And the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The thing that divided, that kept the people from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of God, it was torn open. And now, because of Jesus Christ, you and I, oh, we have access to the very presence of a holy God. Through Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege that we have called prayer to commune with a holy God. We have an audience with God and we have access to God because Jesus Christ took that barrier away. What a great privilege it is. But secondly, not only is this is all introductory here, but not only is prayer a great privilege, but it's a necessity. Prayer is a necessity. Even in verse 1 of our text in Luke 18, Jesus said men ought always to pray. Always to pray. It's impossible, I believe it's impossible, to have a true relationship with God and not feel a need to pray, to commune with God through prayer. Why? Because it's the Christian's vital breath. It's absolutely needed to spiritual life and spiritual health. You can't have spiritual life and spiritual health without communion with God. Prayer is a necessity. It's a great privilege. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage, in this parable of the unjust judge. And I want us to take a look at this parable today and see the truth that's contained in here. Because this passage teaches us the truth about the power of persistent prayer. First of all, go back there in our text in Luke chapter 18. Let's consider, first of all, the cry of this widow. The cry of this widow. Number one under the cry of this widow is her demand. Verse 3 gives us her demand. "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary." All right, so verse 2 says there's a judge in this city who didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. Jesus calls him an unjust judge, and we'll get to him in a minute. But this woman, this widow woman, comes to the judge, and she says, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Here's her demand. We don't know the nature of this woman's burden, but it obviously was something that was weighing very heavily upon her heart. Now, the Bible uses the word adversary here. That word is a word that means an opponent in a lawsuit. It's also the same exact word that is given for Satan. In 1 Peter 5:8, we have an adversary, the devil, who walketh about seeking whom he may, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's the same exact word. And it means an opponent in a lawsuit, or specifically Satan, the arch enemy. This widow's adversary, though, was stronger than her own abilities, and she needed help to avenge her adversary. That word means to vindicate. or to punish. And so here we find her demand. She comes to this judge and she pleads with this judge, help me, avenge me of mine adversary, my opponent in a lawsuit, because her adversary was stronger than her own abilities. But this woman was at a disadvantage. Let's consider her disadvantages here. Verse 3 says that she was a widow. This poor woman had several things working against her when it came to seeking redress in a court of law. First of all, she was a woman. And women in that culture were not allowed to speak in court. Secondly, she was a widow. She had no husband to defend her. She had no husband to protect her. She had no husband to speak for her. And so here she's got some disadvantages. Widows in that culture were a segment of society that was often oppressed and often taken advantage of. Being a widow was typically synonymous with being poor as well. And so she had no money with which to grease the wheels of justice in that culture. She couldn't have paid a bribe if she wanted to because she didn't have any money. So you see all of her disadvantages. She's a widow. She's a woman. She's not allowed to speak in court. She's a widow. She doesn't have a husband to speak for her. She's oppressed in that society, probably poor. She doesn't have much hope. And so she comes to this judge pleading for his help. Look at verse 5. We see her determination. Verse 5, and yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Here's her determination. The Bible refers to her continually coming. This phrase has the idea that she was begging this judge for help every day. When he would show up for court, she was there. When he would go into the marketplace, there she was. She pleaded with him in front of his friends. Maybe she even followed him home at night. But the point was, everywhere he went, there she was, constantly asking him to give her satisfaction. We see her determination. But we also see her desperation. Because of her social standing and because of her financial standing, she had no other hope but to go get help from this judge. And so she made a nuisance of herself, pleading, begging every day until she received the very thing that she was looking for. Let me make an application here. This widow represents us. There are times when we too are burdened down with cares and worries and fears and troubles in this life. And during those times, it may seem like every circumstance of life is stacked against us. There might be a temptation in times like that to throw up the hands and say, what's the use? Especially after we've prayed and prayed and prayed about some matter. And it doesn't seem like it's coming to fruition. Yet if we can learn anything from this widow woman, let's learn the lesson that persistence in prayer truly pays off in God's time. And so the challenge is keep praying despite all those obstacles or feelings of giving up, wondering if there's any hope. Maybe some of you here have lost loved ones. Those that you've prayed for over and over and over again, that God would save their soul. And maybe it seems as though it doesn't seem like anything is happening. It doesn't seem like there's any breakthrough, that there's no connection. And you plead with God to save their soul, and time goes on and time goes on and time goes on, and it's what's the use? Nothing's happening. Maybe you felt that way when you've prayed and prayed and prayed about some matter, and it doesn't seem as if there's any hope. Learn this lesson from this widow woman. Her persistence in prayer pays off in God's time. And I'll make some more applications along the way here. But secondly, another application is we also have an adversary. The devil. The flesh. The world. And those adversaries, listen, they're stronger than our own abilities. They're stronger than we can conquer on our own. We need the help to avenge our adversary. The question is, do we continually come to the Lord like this widow for victory over our flesh? Is the burden of sin in your own life and the desire to walk with God and be more like the Lord, does that weigh heavy on your heart and on your soul that you would continually come to God? Lord, this adversary is too much for me. I need your grace. I need your help to avenge me of mine adversary. Lord, I want victory in my life, but I want it for your glory. Does your own sin burden your heart to where you continually come to the Lord for his help? Well, Jesus said in verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. For those that have that kind of a burdened heart, who have that kind of determination, the same as this widow who are desperate for the help of God, we have an adversary who's stronger than our own abilities. We see this widow woman. We don't know exactly what her issue was. But the fact was, she had an adversary that was stronger than her, and she needed help from this judge. Secondly, consider with me the coldness of the judge. Go back to verse 2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Jesus calls him an unjust judge. And he was cold. Not only was he cold, but we find that he was corrupt. Verse 2 shows us that this man didn't care anything about God. He didn't care anything about man. All he cared about was himself and his own life. And to put it simply, he was a wicked man. Now, we need to understand this judge a little bit more. But to understand him, we need to understand a little bit about the judicial system in those days. Wiersbe describes it this way. Listen, the courtroom was not a fine building, but a tent that was moved from place to place as the judge covered his circuit. The judge, not the law, set the agenda, and he sat regally in the tent surrounded by his assistants. Anybody could watch the proceedings from outside, but only those who were approved and accepted could have their cases tried. This usually meant bribing one of the assistants so that he could call the judge's attention to the case. This is still true in much of third world countries, even today. So you get the picture here. This widow woman who's, number one, she's a widow. She's a woman. She doesn't have much in the way of rights. And here's the judge who sits regally in his tent. And she doesn't have any money to bribe the assistants, you know, to get her case tried or heard by this judge. What hope does she have? Verse 4 of our text shows us how callous this judge was. Because here she was. He did hear her case. But verse 4 says he wouldn't avenge her for a while. Here he was callous. Even though he had heard this widow's petition and saw that she had a case, he wouldn't do as she asked. He simply turned a deaf ear to her plea for help. He probably would have been hard-hearted, closed-minded to the needs of others. The Bible says that he didn't regard God or man. You see what kind of a person he was. Look at verse 4 again. He was pretty condescending as well, because he says here, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In spite of his, if you want to call it, spiritual condition, and in spite of the fact that he didn't care really for this widow in the least, in the end, he helped her. Why? It wasn't because of the law. It wasn't because that was his duty. The answer is in verse 5. Verse 5 says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. There are two words that are of special interest here. The word troubleth. He says, because this widow troubleth me. This word comes from two words, and it means to reach forth. It means to beat another or to cause trouble. It has the idea of a beating. Okay? So here, her coming is troubling him. It's battering him. It's beating him. The word weary, it doesn't mean, you know, makes me tired, like I'm tired of her coming. That's not what the word means. The word means to beat down or to blacken the eye. And so here we have the connotation to describe, or it carries the effect of being beaten severely about the head. And evidently what this means is that this woman's continual coming and her constant crying was hurting his reputation, and she was giving him a black eye in the community. So here, her constant coming, and him not doing anything about it was hurting his reputation. And so he said, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She gives me a bad reputation. She blackens my eye in the community. Let me make an application here. The lesson for us is this. When it comes to prayer, and when it comes to talking with the Lord, you know what? We may not get the answer immediately, but we must keep asking and keep believing, because God will answer in His time. And listen, if you and I are going to get the answer, it may take some action. You know what? We can't just sit at home and just pray, oh, I hope, God, please, I hope. Sometimes the Lord wants to see if we're really serious. And He wants us to start pushing on a door to see if that'll open. And it takes some action on our part. Consistent and persistent action. You know what? Maybe when it comes to praying for somebody to be saved, just sitting at home and praying for their soul isn't exactly what's necessary. Maybe along with that prayer, there needs to be some action and some persistence to push on that door and get into their life and seek to make a difference. George Mueller said this, the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. And I wonder how true that is with saints of God. We have this great privilege of prayer, this necessity of prayer, and maybe there's something that sort of burdens our heart, and we'll take it before the Lord, and we might pray once, we might pray twice, but either I don't care that much about this situation, or I don't think that there's any hope, and so I quit. That's not what this woman did. She came continually, coming and coming and coming persistently to this unjust judge. And this unjust judge finally gave in and helped this woman. But I want you to see verses 6 through 8, because Jesus makes a contrast between the unjust judge and our Heavenly Father. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus turns from the characters of this parable to the Father in heaven, and he shows us that God is nothing like this unjust judge. God actually delights in answering the prayers of his children. Amen. Praise the Lord, he's not like this unjust judge. Amen. God hears his people. Verse 7 says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?" God hears his people. Listen, we never need fear that God doesn't hear us, because his ear is ever open to the cry of his children. Now we know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But you know what? There are other promises in the Word of God for those who have a right heart, for those who desire the will of God and to be right with God. The Lord hears. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." God wants us to come before him in prayer. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, verse 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." You look at the contrast here. The Lord is far from the wicked, but the righteous ones, oh, he hears their prayer. That's a promise. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, especially related to prayer. But 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says this, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Here's a promise again. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions we desire of him. Now there are some qualifiers here. Proverbs chapter 15 talked about those being righteous, God hears their prayer. And 1 John chapter 5 talks about praying according to his will, and he hears the prayer. You know what some people say? "Well, I gave God a try once, but he didn't answer my prayer. And so I just gave up on God. I've tried praying before, but God never seems to answer my prayers." But you know what James chapter 4 and verse 3 says? We read it this morning in the Sunday school hour. "Ye ask and receive not." Why? "Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." The attitude, the heart attitude of those who say, "Well, I gave God a try once and he didn't answer my prayer." You know what the problem is that they're not meeting these qualifiers. There's not a righteous heart. They're not praying according to God's will. They're praying according to their own will and their own agenda. And they want something from God according to their own agenda. They treat God like he's a genie in a lamp. "Give me whatever I want." God's not going to hear that kind of a prayer. But for his people, those who desire to be right with him, he promised he hears the prayer. And Jesus said in our text in verse 7, go back over there to Luke 18, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" What do we find here? The contrast with our Heavenly Father, he's not at all like that unjust judge. He hears his people. But secondly, he honors their persistence. Verse 7 says, "They cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them." Now he still honors their persistence. Sometimes prayer is not answered right away. Sometimes it's answered immediately, but other times it's delayed for some reason and for some time. The key is, don't give up. God isn't just making us wait arbitrarily when he doesn't answer our prayer right away. We've talked about it in our Sunday school hour, how Elijah, according to the will of God, said it's going to rain, and he prayed how many times? Seven. God already said he was going to do it. And here Jesus reaffirms that principle. Sometimes the Lord bears long. He's not just making us wait randomly or arbitrarily. He's still working out his plan. Our persistence in prayer, though, demonstrates two things about our own heart. First of all, persistence in prayer demonstrates a depth of burden. You understand this? Are you with me here? Persistence in prayer, continually coming to the Lord over this issue. We know that he hears us, and continually coming to the Lord demonstrates a depth of burden in the heart. Listen, if you can pray about an item once or twice and then give up, you weren't really burdened over it. A genuine burden will put you before the Lord, before God, and it'll keep you there until he answers according to his will. Not only does it demonstrate a depth of burden, but it demonstrates genuine faith in God that he really does have the answer and he really does have the power. Some of you have been praying for a different job, but it doesn't seem like there's an answer. It doesn't seem like the answer has come. And it might be that God is bearing long with you. Don't give up. God has a purpose. He's not making you wait arbitrarily or randomly. He's accomplishing his will and his purpose in your life. Some of you have been praying for lost loved ones for a long time. And you keep praying and you keep asking God, and it doesn't seem as though the answer is there. Listen, my friend, don't give up. Why? Because God has promised. And when you want to talk about praying for unsaved people, listen, there are great promises of the Word of God that we can claim. Like 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God. We can confidently pray. If we pray according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we have the petitions that we desire. When it comes to praying for your lost loved ones, my friends, don't despair. Don't give up. Claim the promises of God. Take them back to the Lord in persistence. Lord, you said it is your will that all come to repentance. Lord, you said that if we pray according to your will, then we have the petitions we desire of you. And hold God's feet to the fire of his promise. Are you with me? Don't despair. Don't say that there's no hope. I can tell you this, friend. I am a living example of that very, very truth. As a rebellious, lost teenager wanting nothing to do with God, bringing shame to my parents, the church, all the above, from a rotten testimony and a rotten life. I had a mother who never stopped praying for me. Every day, every night. Taking my name before the throne of God. Save his soul. Work in his heart. I know of others who prayed for a family member for 40 years. Plus years. God worked in their heart. God somehow get a hold of them. God humble them. Open their eyes that they might see. And there are times, maybe when they felt like there wasn't any hope. But they kept on. And they kept on. And they kept on. And after 40 plus years, God intervened. And that lost loved one came to a place of genuine repentance and salvation. Back in our text, Jesus said, I tell you that he, that's God, will avenge them speedily. There's promises that God has given. You know what 1 Kings chapter 8 tells us? Go on over there. 1 Kings chapter 8. Look at verse 56. 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Look, this passage speaks of God's promise to the nation of Israel, but what does it teach us about the character of God? That God's promises never fail. God always keeps his word. God does not change. He does not forget what he has said. And listen, what I'm telling you, friend, in the times of despair, or the times where you feel hopeless, claim the promises of God. Bring them back to the Lord with fervency, with a depth of burden of the heart and faith that God really does have the answer and he does have the power and he'll keep his word. He honors their persistence. Verse 8 shows us clearly that he handles their petitions. God doesn't turn a deaf ear to our cry when it's according to his will and for his glory. God does not turn a deaf ear. What great confidence, listen, that ought to give us in prayer. What a desire that should put within our hearts to fall on our face before God more consistently and persistently because of his promise. Let me close with this. We've seen this unjust judge. We see how he's contrasted with God the Father. But consider lastly here with me the challenge to the saint of God. What do we do with this message, with this thought that men ought always to pray and not to faint? I think we can sum up that answer in three simple challenges that can make a difference in our prayer life. Number one, first of all, we need to be committed to pray. We need to be committed to prayer. One of the things that Brother Humphreys brought out in our Sunday school hour is that indifference is a killer. Indifference is a problem. Indifference is what keeps us from being committed to prayer. You know what? It's not. It's probably not gonna go so well, and it's not gonna be what we expect if once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, we bring an issue before the Lord. What does the persistency show? It shows a depth of burden in the heart. We got to be committed. Jesus said, men ought always to pray. This is the idea that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing has the idea of no intermission. It's sort of like, here's a way to describe it. You know how you got a nagging cough? You know, you get a cold and then it turns into a cough. And you always have that tickle in the back of your throat all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Like you could cough at any moment. And at nighttime you try to go to sleep and you just can't get rid of that nagging tickle, that cough that's about to come. Pray without ceasing. No intermission. It's basically the idea of being in an attitude, in an atmosphere of prayer all the time. In anything I do, anywhere I go, I'm communing with my Heavenly Father. A situation arises, Lord, give me wisdom here. Lord, what choice should I make here? I'm in an attitude of constant prayer and fellowship with God and communing with God all the time. You see, prayer is more than an obligation. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to be in touch with our Heavenly Father. We got to be committed. Secondly, we need to be consistent. Jesus said in our text in verse 1, men ought always to pray and not faint. We need to be consistent. The phrase means to lose heart. The word faint or not faint, it means to lose heart, to become slothful, to grow weary. And Jesus challenges his people Don't lose heart during those times when the answer to prayer is delayed. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't lose heart. God is going to move in His time. It's illustrated, that truth is illustrated for us in Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The third challenge is be comforted by prayer. Go back to our text over there in Luke 18, verse 8. Be committed to prayer. Be consistent in prayer, but be comforted by prayer. Verse 8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? The last question in verse 8 wonders if Jesus will find faith when He returns. In other words, will He find His people persisting in prayer before the Father over the things that really matter? And Jesus says, faith is the key here. You say, well, where's the comfort in that? Well, it lies in what Jesus said. Notice that He said, when the Son of Man cometh. The comfort in prayer is this: God honors His word. God honors His promises. He has to. His character demands that He honor His promises. He promised He would return. He's going to honor it. And if He honors that promise, He's going to honor other promises that He has made as well. And this should give us confidence and comfort for God's people to keep their eyes on. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, or don't be full of care, worry. Don't be worrying, in other words. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He wants them to be made known. All right? But then verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here we have a challenge to be comforted in prayer. Don't be full of worry. Don't be full of care. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Listen, you may feel like giving up, but don't. He's going to answer in His time. Matthew chapter 7, last passage of Scripture. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean on an ocean liner, F.B. Meyer was asked to address the passengers on the subject of answered prayer. An agnostic who was present at that service was asked, well, what did you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon? To which he replied, I didn't believe a word of it. Later that afternoon, the agnostic was on his way to another service just to hear, as he put it, what the babbler had to say. He put two oranges in his pocket, and as he walked toward the meeting place, he passed an elderly woman who was sitting in her chair fast asleep. In the spirit of fun, the man slipped two oranges into her outstretched palms. After the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of those oranges. He remarked, "You seem to be enjoying those oranges, ma'am." To which she replied, "Yes, sir, my father is very good to me." He said, "Your father? Surely your father can't still be alive." She exclaimed, "Praise God, he's very much alive." And she went on to explain to the agnostic and said, "You see, I've been seasick for days. I was asking God to somehow send me an orange to help ease my sickness. I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying. However, when I woke up, I found that he had not only sent me one orange, but two." To this response, the agnostic was speechless. Later on that same cruise, that same man was converted to Jesus Christ. He was made a believer that God does answer prayer. Persistent prayer. Based on the promises of God, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. God is not at all like that unjust judge. He delights in the prayers of his children, and he will avenge them speedily. When we pray according to his will, for his glory, God hears, and God will answer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these comforting, compelling truths. Encourage the hearts of your people. I know burdens are heavy on hearts at times, and it seems as though sometimes the answer is delayed and you're bearing long with them. But let us know that you're accomplishing your will and your purpose. Let it compel us to dig deeper into your word and grab hold of your promises. And know that you have an answer, that you have a timetable, and you're going to work your perfect will and your perfect plan in your time. That along the way, there's much good that you accomplish in our own heart. Father, I pray that we would be people who are committed, who are consistent, in bringing the names of people before the Lord with a burdened heart that drives us to our knees and keeps us there until we get the answer. And Jesus gave that illustration of this widow woman who continually kept coming until she got what she was looking for. Father, may we be that kind of people when it comes to prayer, when it comes to the will of God. And so we ask that you'd encourage our hearts today with this truth. And Lord, I also pray for any among us who are not saved. The Bible says that God heareth not sinners. People might try to call out to God and pray to God for this and pray to God for that, but they don't even have a relationship with him. He's not going to hear. The only prayer of a sinner that God hears is one of repentance and contrition. So Father, we pray that you'd even speak to the hearts today of people who may not be saved, that your will would be done in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.